Bean Dad, The Dress, 30 to 50 Feral Hogs. If you knew what any of those were, you spend too much time online. And hey, I do too. 16th Minute of Fame is a new weekly podcast hosted by me, Jamie Loftus. And every week, we take a closer look at an internet character of the day. Who are they? What made them so notorious? How did the internet or the algorithm choose them? And what does a person do when they're suddenly confronted with more attention than the human psyche can handle? Listen to 16th Minute of Fame on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast, and I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
For the first time in a long time, as a matter of fact, in the history of this show, I get to report on some good news. Because I got to tell y'all, man, continuing to do this show was really wearing me out. You know what I'm saying? I was like, I don't never get to look at something fun. Which I kind of enjoyed the balloon stuff because it was funny, but it was like jokes on us. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like, oh, this is great. Oh, this is funny. Ha ha. It's like, this is funny. We're dumb. And so it wasn't like really. I finally get to talk about some good news. And believe it or not, it's about the Congress. I'm so excited. And it's some deep cut stuff. It was a Washington Post article. And then they talked about it on the Slate Gab Fest, which I highly recommend that show. Great show. Anyway, the best way to explain this is an area in Los Angeles called Leimert Park. Everyone needs a Leimert Park. Hood politics, y'all. All right, y'all, I'm going to take y'all on a journey this episode. Some history, some relationship, some deep cut LA stuff. But really, it's at the end of the day, it's this. All of us are watching because that's what's getting fed to our news feeds. And it's because it's really going down. It's like our government is just 100% dysfunctional. Like, what is going on? And part of it is because, yeah, there's too much money in dysfunction. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you gain too much power and just in, you know, this type of clout chasing and stoking anger. And you just, you know, you get people riled. There's too much money in that. But at the same time, like, government got to work. Like, it's crazy when you look at these people, you're like, y'all work at the same place. You know, like, how y'all always never on the same page? You know, I don't know if you ever seen a couple that just always arguing. It's like, man, I thought y'all loved each other. Like, you know, but at least with a couple, like, y'all could end it. You know what I'm saying? I think we're just like, yo, like, y'all have to figure out, for the sake of all of us, how to work together. And this is the story about, you know, they did. And at least in this one little way. The sister Amanda Ripley wrote this article for the Washington Post about this one way that, hey, Congress kind of figured it out. And it just kind of reminded me of, like, Leimert Park. It just kind of reminded me of L.A. And, like, dang, yeah, like, at some point, man, like, y'all, look, for everybody's sake, y'all got to figure out how to live together. I'm not saying don't rep your hood, don't rep your set, you know, hold down your section. But, like, God, dog, man, like, we all got to live here, man. We need to figure out something. If I could carry this metaphor in something a little more universal, I'm going to get into it a little later, but like in, you know, couples therapy, you know what I'm saying? At some point when someone expresses a hurt, even if you think that's bull or you experienced it differently, a person just want to be heard. You feel me? Like, I want you to feel the pain I felt. And you'd be surprised how far that goes, whether it's in your conflict mediation with your homies, with your loved one, with your partner, or with the streets, or with Congress. People just want to be heard. Okay, y'all. Like I said, your boy been real diligent this year. So I'm a couple weeks ahead of y'all, which feels really good. I ain't gonna lie to you. You know what I'm saying? But sometimes I don't need to keep explaining that. I want to talk to y'all about an area very special to me personally. And I feel like there's probably some sort of comparison, I would say, in any city that has like struggled in any way with gang violence. I'm gonna try my best to not get in the weeds here about the extended history of this Leimert Park, but enough to just give y'all context as to what I'm trying to explain actually happened in the Congress. Because again, this is good news. Now, in the city of Los Angeles, when I say the city of Los Angeles, I don't mean the surrounding areas. I saw this horrible take that by the homie Kev on stage on Twitter talking about the big city with the worst food culture is Los Angeles. And I'm like, okay, first of all, you up in the valley, number one. And I don't need you putting the sins of Sherman Oaks on the shoulders of Crenshaw. You want me to pick another place? How about this? If you're in Chicago, you know what I'm saying? Don't be putting the sins of Aurora of Hoffman Estates on the heads of Pilsen. What other cities do I know well? Okay, you in Houston, don't be putting Humble Texas situations on my shoulder. You in Dallas, don't be putting Carrollton sins on my shoulders. Portland, you in Portland? Don't be giving me no Tigard, no Hillsboro takes. That ain't Portland. So I mean specifically Los Angeles. And I'm going to get even more specific. You can really see it when you fly into Los Angeles coming from the east. But, you know, sometimes if you're coming from the north, like you kind of go over the Pacific and land facing east rather than land facing west. Anyway, if you're coming into Los Angeles from the east of the country, you know, you're starting out in way and then like you'll see the Grand Canyon, then you see Phoenix. And then you're going to see this vast desert, and that's like the Coachella Valley over this mountain thing. You're going to see Palm Springs. And then all of a sudden, the Inland Empire starts. And you're going to fly over the Inland Empire. And then finally, when the downtown skyline comes into place, this is where I want you to look. It looks like the freeway you're seeing coming out of downtown is the 110 freeway. And it's running north and south. And you're generally flying along the pathway of the 105, right? If you're landing in LAX. And in this area, there's this wide grid, right? It looks like a perfect, and it's the only area that has this as you're flying into the city, this perfect sort of rectangle blocks for as far as the eye can see until you get to SoFi Stadium. Once you see like Inglewood, you're past what I'm talking about. By then you're pretty low. You're about to land. But in this grid area, this is what we refer to as South Central LA. This area has the streets that are running east and west are numbered, right? So that's where we get things like rolling 60s, you know, 40s, 30s. The 20s, right? It's because these are the blocks that run sort of east and west. And then the rocks that run north and south are some of the major streets. So it would start with, you'd start with Figueroa, right? So these are I'm skipping a lot of stuff, but essentially this is the area. Now, there's one area that's almost, now I'm talking west of the 110 highway, right? Freeway. And south of the I-10 that y'all would call. We just call it the 10, right? When you get north of the 10, you're in Fairfax District. It's mid-city. It's about to become Beverly Hills and Hollywood, right? So that, for natives, especially natives of color, like that area don't count. That's not what we're talking about. Unless you're talking about Koreatown, right? Or Echo Park, which used to be pretty active, you know what I'm saying? But that's north. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about south, where black folks is, right? Latino folks, well, Latinos are everywhere because there's just so many of y'all. Anyway, this grid, right, is the birthplace of Crippin.
Bean Dad, The Dress, 30 to 50 Feral Hogs. If you knew what any of those were, you spend too much time online. And hey, I do too. 16th Minute of Fame is a new weekly podcast hosted by me, Jamie Loftus, where every week I take a closer look at an internet character of the day. Who were they? What made them so notorious? Why did the internet choose them? And what does a person do when they're suddenly confronted with more attention than the human psyche can handle? I'll be talking to internet historians, experts, and yes, the main characters themselves to get a fuller picture. Because I think that even outside individual experiences, a character of the day tells us something about how the internet worked at that time and how the attention economy developed into the freaky three-headed dragon it is today. Together, we probably won't be able to properly log out, but we can take a walk down scary internet memory lane and see one day a little more clearly. Listen to 16th Minute of Fame on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, to be even more specific, gangbanging really started in actually my grandma's neighborhood in the Fremont area on the east side, because that used to be the major black area. But anyway, I digress. Right. You can go a little further south. You get the birthplace of the Bloods, you know, and the Piru is an actual street in Compton. So that was a little bit further down. You know what I'm saying? But gangbanging, as y'all know it, West Coast, L.A., you know, khakis and chucks, you know, flannels, red rags, blue rags. You looking at it right here, right? And in this area, which we call the Crenshaw District, right? There's a few streets in this grid that kind of V into a singular point. And it V's into a singular point in the 40s, right? Which is a hood, but it's in the 40s. Now, in this area, this is called the Leimert Park Village. And it's off Crenshaw, right? Which is the main street. And Crenshaw was a historical, like, now when I say historical, I'm talking within my age. There is a history that predates me. Crenshaw's generally was an affluent area, even as black as it is, it was black affluence. But it didn't mean it wasn't gangbanging. Now, you go further south down Crenshaw, and you once you cross Lawson, now you're in the 60s. That's the Nipsey Hussle world. That's neighborhood rolling 60 Crips. That's that area. I'm a little further north. This little village, it's designed to be walkable. It's designed to end as a park. It's designed actually to mirror this area up north in Hollywood called Larchmont. Now, to give you a little context, Conan O'Brien Studios, they're in Larchmont. So if you can picture that, I'm talking Crenshaw, Leimert Park, right? And as a child, we used to go there for drum circles every Sunday. But this area was designed to be walkable, almost like a European style villa, like where you walk, you know, you sit down at the little cafes, right? And again, it culminates in this gated sort of park area, right? Now, every Saturday and Sunday, they have like open flea market there. Again, my whole life. Now, in the 60s, this was like the jazz hub. I think I've said this plenty of times. Like, it was equivalent to like our Harlem. It was black art and diaspora art. Like, whenever I used to want to get incense and like cool African bracelets, when, you know, in the 70s, you wanted your dashikis, you feel me? You wanted your good oils. You would go down there. My father, used to take me on a weekend because that's where sort of like black Pan-African culture was happening. This area, although it is inside of a gang territory, as far as I can remember, was always neutral. I mean, we stood on the street corner freely. There was an event called Project Load. Again, like, if that's actually, it's finally on Netflix, finally. Ava DuVernay's first film, it's called This Is the Life. It's about this spot called the Good Life, a little bit further north on Crenshaw and Exposition. It was a health food cafe. It was one of the open mics out here in the early 90s that essentially birthed our hip-hop scene. You know, not like Radiotron, like, which is in MacArthur Park. That's like the 80s. That's the B-Boy. That's like Breaking and Breaking 2. That's Ozone Turbo. It's the gift, the gab, the rip, the rap, the gift, the stab. That's a little earlier than us. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about, like, as we know it, Far Side, Dilated Peoples, Daz, Corrupt, like, you know, this music, Freestyle Fellowship that birthed an entire movement. You could go see that. And out of that became an event called Project Load because of one of the elders of that city who ran this thing called the Chaos Network, which name was Cogwell, right? So anyway, before that, Fifth Street Dicks, this spot over here in Leimert was where you would hear jazz, you know, and freeform. And so, of course, it became a natural arts hub, right? You've seen this place. It's been in, if you ever seen Insecure on HBO, the coffee shop they go to is actually Haroon Coffee. It's the homie Chase Infinite. That's his spot. This little strip was in, it's in the new Creed movie. You can see when homie gets off the bus, I'm like, he's getting off in Leimert. Like, that's Leimert Park. Once you see it in all these films, you can't unsee it, right? Snowfall, there's a scene in Snowfall. In Snowfall, it's the coffee shop, Haroon says like self-scientific cleaners. It's a cleaners and self-scientific. I'm getting in the weeds here, but self-scientific was the group that Chase Infinite was in who owns Haroon Coffee. So it's a little nugget, but I digress. This area, as far as I can remember, now I am giving you that caveat, has always been neutral. I don't know of personally, and I've never heard any stories of any like real action going down here. It was just kind of mutually respected. Now, granted, again, it's in the middle of a Crip hood. And so there's that, right? But as we know, there's so many Crips. A lot of times, Crip gangs, you know, have problems with Crip gangs. But it's just this arts and African sort of pan-Africanism, just Black art and joy and experience and elders and wisdom. You know, I mean, it's weed smoke everywhere. You know what I'm saying? It's Jamaican food. It's like, you know, there's a community center where you learn pan-African movement. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a barbershop. There's where you'd buy like masks and, you know, and just, it's just, and we would freestyle till the wee hours of the morning standing outside. And yeah, you just don't do that in LA. Like, usually you have to go inside. And it's not like there wasn't no thugs there. It was just understood. Now, that being said, when there's ever peace that needs to be negotiated among the streets. Now, if we're talking LA riots and the peace treaty that came after that, I am too young to be able to tell y'all exactly what went down. I'm too young for that. So I can't tell you what the location was. But I will say this. I know for a fact there has been plenty of things that have been brokered and negotiated in Leimert Park because it's considered to be neutral. And I would imagine every hood across America has some place that is just understood that it's okay. Because again, at least in LA, parks are territory. Parks and apartments, they're territory. Like, that's my park. You know, this is you know, this is our park. This is, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like, it's movie scenes when you turn the corner and it's just dudes working out, you know what I'm saying? And just, you're like, the children should not be playing here for some reason that I could really only speculate about. Leimert is our spot. Now, obviously to you and to me, everyone would need a place like this. Every hood would need a place like this, especially a place where you have factors that don't get along, right? Because generally, if you just don't get along, the only way to keep peace is just to avoid each other. But you can't live like that. That's not sustainable. At some point, we need to talk out our grievances. Now, if you've ever done any gang intervention, or if you've ever sat in, which I doubt you have, but if you ever sat in any sort of conflict mediation, there are certain things that have to, you can't just start being like, y'all, listen, it can't be Rodney King. Can't we all just get along? It don't work like that. My homeboy who shall rename nameless, you know, who got the red shoelaces in his shoes. He was like, I was around during that time. And when y'all talking about brokering peace, he's like, that's me spitting on my homeboy's grave. Because this person I'm sitting across the table from, you might have killed my cousin. You might have killed my homie. Like, how can we talk about peace? And he's like, and I understand in that dude's perspective, because I probably killed his homeboy. What are we going? There's no peace. Like, there's nothing we could talk about. There is no truce. Now, obviously, that's a remarkably violent way to look at it. But even in the love relationships, you know, me and the doc ZP, refer to her by her prefix, my lovely spouse. Listen, we're in weekly and sometimes monthly, depending on how good we doing, counseling and therapy. You can't be letting this stuff build up, because once you let it build up, it's too much for us to uncover before we can actually get to what we need to get to. It's almost too far gone. You let it go too far gone. That's when the therapist be like, guys, the damage is too deep. Now, it's not everything ain't savable. You know what I'm saying? So you have to like get to a place. Now, we also learned as a couple, oh man, this is good stuff. We also learned as a couple, some stuff we just can't talk about with just us. We can't deal with this at the crib. There has got to be another place for us to go where we could talk about this in a neutral space. There's got to be a neutral space. And there has to be a third party that's listening, because if not, all we gonna do is end up yelling at each other. Now, I don't know if you have been in love, you have tried to like hold down a relationship, then you know what the hell I'm talking about. Y'all end up in the same place every time. Now, if we talk about gang, you know what we end up with. We end up with bodies on the sidewalk. That's what we end up with. There's too much. We can't even get to what we need to get to until we deal with what we got to deal with. You picking up what I'm throwing down here? You feel me? I ain't gonna hold you. Shit is really hard. There's somebody I give y'all to follow. His name is Shep Crawford. He a pastor out here. He actually did the eulogy at Nipsey's service when Nipsey passed. Because this man is well known in these streets of brokering peace. Because he been out here, you know, and obviously everybody don't rock with him. But at the same time, the things he's been able to accomplish because of how he understands how this stuff works, what we got to get to, how to dig up under the foundation to get what we got to get to. I don't know many people like him. So yeah, y'all find him on Instagram, Shep Crawford. And you'll see what I mean, how it take a lot of work to do this. But it, unless there's a place where everyone is able to put their guard down, and what you see in the hood is oftentimes what we always talk about is like, man, you finna get murdered by a person that looked just like you. I went to the same head start. Yo, we went to the same preschool. We was in the same county line. We running from the same police. You understand what I'm saying? Like, this across this table is a person who lived the exact same experience. You in Section 8 just like I'm living the exact same experience. But just because you repping where your mama pay rent, I'm repping where my mama pay rent, we somehow enemies? Like, you have to get past that to be like, man, you love your block, I love my block, we love LA. So let's protect LA. You know what I'm saying? You got to find what that is. But how do you get to that if it's like, I said, you shot my little brother. You know what I'm saying? Or you protecting a dude that shot my little brother. And even if I'm doing the same about your little brother, how do we get to it? Well, it takes time. I want to tell you how the Congress figured this out after this.
Bean Dad, The Dress, 30 to 50 Feral Hogs. If you knew what any of those were, you spend too much time online. And hey, I do too. 16th Minute of Fame is a new weekly podcast hosted by me, Jamie Loftus, where every week I take a closer look at an internet character of the day. Who were they? What made them so notorious? Why did the internet choose them? And what does a person do when they're suddenly confronted with more attention than the human psyche can handle? I'll be talking to internet historians, experts, and yes, the main characters themselves to get a fuller picture. Because I think that even outside individual experiences, a character of the day tells us something about how the internet worked at that time and how the attention economy developed into the freaky three-headed dragon it is today. Together, we probably won't be able to properly log out, but we can take a walk down scary internet memory lane and see one day a little more clearly. Listen to 16th Minute of Fame on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we back in the building. Listen, this is kind of dope, man. Maybe you know or don't know, but either way, you're about to know right now. Congress is broken up into committees. Once you get into Congress, you get assigned to a particular committee. Now, that's all that stuff that was going on. Remember when, like, Marjorie Taylor Greene was spouting out the, like, the Jewish space lasers and she got kicked off her her committee? Because it's like, fam, what is you talking about? You know, and that's where you do your work. You do your work in these particular committees and you hear things and you make recommendations. Those recommendations sometimes become bills. Either way, this is how Congress breaks up. That there's one select committee that's called the Select Committee on the Modernization of Congress. So, and it's their job to make recommendations on how to make Congress function better, right? So they mission, your job, fix Congress. Now, who trying to be on this one? It's got to be perfectly and evenly bipartisan. 6 Republicans, 6 Democrats. And you got to make Congress work better. Good luck, fam. So if there's any committee that is destined to fail, big dog, it would be this one. And they got all the way up to the last time the Congress convened in 2018. Let me tell you how many recommendations they made. Let me tell you how much they got done. Goose egg. Nothing, fam. Nothing. But this one has worked so well that they continued it 2 different sets of Congresses. 2 terms. It's this weird altered universe. It's like really good news. There are these 12 Congress people that actually figured this out. Now, for you to understand what I mean by this and some of the stuff that they figured out to do, you kind of got to flash back to kindergarten also, right? Now, I remember all this stuff I talked about Leimert Park, about being heard and stuff like this. Here's what you find out. You know, in these Congress buildings, because everything's controlled by the Speaker of the House, Senate Majority Leader, it's all controlled by them. So you can't even get, even if that big old government building, you can't get no room because the rooms are assigned by the Speaker. It ain't a single room in there that's meant to be bipartisan. I don't know if you ever been to the Capitol. They don't even eat together. Yeah, they ain't even no lunch table up in the cafeteria. Like, how y'all possibly ever gonna get along? Y'all can't even get no rooms together. So that's one thing. Another thing that Congress do that just bass ackwards, like they used to say, is like fools be signed up for hearings and votes. They be having like 3 votes at noon in 3 different buildings. Like, how the hell? These people is overworked. They ain't got time for nothing else. It's, you've given them impossible schedules to do impossible stuff. And you don't, and the room always segregated. Remember I said, I guess you could keep the peace if you just stay on your section. You feel me? You remember when you was in kindergarten and your teacher was like, no, you can't sit by your friend. You got to sit boy, girl, boy, girl. Remember that? Or they assign the seats because they trying to get you to learn how to get along with people that you don't necessarily choose to get along with. Or when you sit with your homie all the time, y'all always stay in trouble. Y'all always talking. No, in kindergarten, they figured out you can't just be sitting like that. You got to sit with somebody else. So you know what? So you know what this committee was like? Y'all need to stop segregating y'all sitting. Why don't y'all sit together? They figured out simple stuff like, let's just change the furniture. My nigga, like, You know, when you watch a TV and you're seeing like a Senate hearing or like a Congress hearing, and you got that like panel of people sitting on high and they only got 5 minutes to say their piece, and they yelling these like these quips at people who are testifying. I mean, how in the hell are we supposed to get along like that? That's not, you can, like, we just don't even feel like equals. Like, and you sit next to your homie. Like, how am I ever going to understand what this person, all I'm thinking about is like, is Kendrick's lyric, "You killed my cousin back in 94. Fuck your truce," right? All the public want us to get along, but like, I don't even mess with these people. And then throw on a January 6th. Throw a Donald Trump grenade in the middle of this. If you a Democrat, it's like, man, I feel like I'm in a relationship with somebody that cheated on me, but cheated on me with somebody that tried to get me killed. Fam, we almost died, cuz. And that was yo folks. Remember? Remember? Remember what I said? You want me to have a peace treaty with you? You killed my cousin. No, ain't no peace. There's nothing to sit around about. Where is your press conference about January 6th telling everybody you almost had us killed? When is you going to say something about that? You feel me? So it's like, there's nothing. Remember I said, sometimes it's like, there's nothing to discuss. And I'm not going to your side of the Capitol building to discuss this, just like you not going to my side of the Capitol to discuss this. The government don't got a Leimert Park. The government don't got no place for them to meet where there's no cameras, number one. Right? Because every place in there is a camera. So if there's a camera, you got to shoot, you got to stunt. You got to put on for the set. So there's no way. You feel me? You set up to failure. So this committee is trying to figure out how to fix some of this stuff. But how? Because they're a part of the problem also. So this one, however, they done adopted 202 recommendations, according to this article, right? Because again, some of the stuff that Congress do just don't make sense. Like I said, they overworked. It's all this, right? It's just everything's terrible, right? Now, the chair of this committee, his name's Derek Kilmer. He's a Democrat from Washington, right? And he's like, apparently, like, according to this article, he's just like a hopeless, like, optimist. He just like a nice dude. But then he did this, like, he called each member one by one and was like, all right, what can we do to make this work? How can we get this thing together, right? And them fools was like I said before, they was like, listen, some of the Democrats were like, I can't even sit in the same room with these people. They almost had us killed. You got to remember the trauma these people, they not really street folk. You have to remember the trauma these people experienced on January 6th. Like, that ruined everything. But before that happened, right, they was kind of figuring stuff out. You know, and some of the things they would do is like, if anything, it's like, listen, you have to have a shared goal. When you have a conflict between two people and two different parties, listen, I'm going to go back to you. I'm going to give y'all some couples therapy idea. It can't be you against your partner. If you going into couples therapy, it's got to be y'all together versus the issue. The issue is the common enemy, and the common goal is a healthy, growing, flourishing relationship. It's got to be that. But if you going in there to defeat your partner, oh, it's over before it started. Y'all done already lost. Same with Congress. The goal has got to be a more perfect union. Right? So one thing that they did, that they was like, okay, well, number one, let's get some snacks together, just like kindergarten. If we had snacks, we just discuss a shared goal. We need to start having rooms that we could actually kick it in. They started having like mandatory like dinners together, because it's like, at some point, man, I got to see you as another person. Like I said, just like in the gang mediation stuff, I have to remember that you went to the same head starts I did, that you ran from the same cops I did. I have to see you as a person also. Right. And then this is what they started doing. They said, OK, before we get busy, now this is pre-January 6th. This is pre-2020. He said, before, this is 2018. Before we get busy, before we start getting down, we need to figure out like what we're trying to do. Let's have a planning retreat. Now, that's never happened, right? So they put together a planning retreat, and it was bipartisan. So both parties got to plan the planning retreat. They hired one staffer team together, rather than saying this team. The Republicans bring their staffers, Democrats bring their staffers. So now even their assistants is beefing. They was like, nah, let's put our heads together. Let's put together one staffer team, right? And they started coming up with things that they could figure out to do. And then January 6th happened. And this is like, again, this is that earth shattering, you killed my cousin type situation. Well, I killed your cousin because your cousin tried to kill me. You know what I'm saying? Like that earth shattering thing that's like, look, this mug will not ever work. Right. And a lot of them fools was like, listen, man, not only on January 6th was that your folks, if you were Democrat talking to Republicans, one of the Republicans who actually voted against certifying the election was Timmons, who was who's the co-chair of this committee. So they like, oh, man, you done broke our trust, homie. Shit ain't gonna work. We can't work together, dog. This, remember I said, there's too much to talk about. We can't even get to the task until we deal with what we got to deal with. So then in March in 2021, I told you this is actually like a good thing. In March 2021, according to the article, they got themselves some tequila, right? And they got on Zoom, you know, because we were still in a pandemic. And they said, okay, listen, we got to talk about the thing. Nobody want to talk about the thing. We got to talk about the thing. And the thing was the insurrection. Because these people were like seriously traumatized. And they was like, I hunkered down. Like I thought I was going to die out this mug. And y'all ain't even get your mans. Like y'all can't even say nothing about this. You was finna die too. Like, I can't believe. Like, how was y'all cool on this? And you even voted to not certify the other. Like, it's like you on their side. So then Timmons spoke and he was able to be like, listen, I still feel like the election was weird. Obviously, this breach of the Capitol was terrible. I feel like all of them need to be prosecuted. Like all this stuff is wrong. That is all. Now, at the same time, I still feel like some of the election things, you know, some of the certifications were still kind of fraudulent. That's why I felt like in his brain, he was like, yo, both these things can be true. Of course, this was terrible. Of course, that shouldn't have happened. But also, and I'm not really convinced about this election. And the people, and then one by one, remember it's 12 folk, one by one, everybody got to talk. Now, of course, they got to still disagree. Like I said, it's still my hood on mine. I still think you tripping, but I at least understand where you coming from. Hell, to be personal on this one, I went through a situation where, you know, my lovely queen of my house had to tell me like, yo, this the way I felt about this situation. I've been holding on to this for a while, you know, and I may not have agreed, but I can't disagree with her feeling. Nigga, that's what you felt. You know what I'm saying? And like, it would suck to feel that way. And I can see that, you know, so your experience, I got to see her. And for her, she got to see me as, look, I lived a whole ass life before her. I, at one point, was just a 12-year-old little boy that was awkward around girls. You know what I'm saying? So she got to see me in a light that was like, dang, he was just a little boy, just like I was just once a little girl once. You know what I'm saying? And even though there's some stuff, there's some experiences that we're like, look, man, I just don't see this the same way. It's the same in the streets. Like, you ain't gonna ever get me to agree, you know, that this said, like, that's my family, this is my rallies. You ain't gonna ever get me to agree to that, but I understand that they got rally. I understand that we can't keep moving like this. And I get that you have to live your life, and I want you to live your life. I see a value in your life. You got mama, you got loved ones, just like I got loved ones, right? We gotta move forward. And whatever that way moving forward is, it's not you against me, it's us against the system, right? That's the only way to move forward. One of the quotes that came out of this thing is like, these people said, man, this is the most I've ever learned, the most fun I've ever had in Congress. Because their job, follow me, y'all, the job is miserable. Like, it sucks being a congressperson. You feel me? One quote that came out of this is like, we learn by conversation instead of confrontation. One change they made was that, like I said, they have to eat together. They found a room where they sit in a round table rather than sitting on high, like I said, like on television. And rather than sitting by seniority, did you notice? Your seating assignment in Congress is by seniority. Nigga, OG sit in the front. Little homie sit in the back. It's bipartisan. How in the hell was they ever, would they ever have a chance to possibly get along? You feel me? To possibly figure anything out. Y'all don't even sit, y'all don't even eat the same food. Y'all can't even eat in the same room, cuz. Right? So that's one of the changes they make. This particular committee, rather than saying everybody gets 5 minutes to talk, they're saying you speak when you're ready. They like had conversation. Can you imagine trying to have some sort of relationship or dialogue with somebody when there's like a time clock on it? It's 5 minutes. Everybody get 5 minutes. I don't get to respond to whatever you're saying. And if I'm trying to respond to whatever you're saying, you're like, but time's up. I reclaim my time. Like, that's not going to work, fam. Y'all can't learn nothing like that. Like, it just don't work. So anyway, they made these changes and they're continuing on. This is one of the only functional parts of our Congress. Look, they found a Leimert part where they was able to sit down and be like this neutral. I see you as a person. We from the same soil and we want the same thing. Rep your section, rep your hood, believe what you believe. But y'all, let's make this work. Now, unfortunately, here's where it gets bad. They common goal is money. It ain't us, nigga. Just ask Palestine, Ohio. The common goal ain't us, nigga. Like, common goal is they bread. But at least they figured out how to work together just for this one thing. So there goes some good news. Have a little bit of joy this week. Hood politics, y'all.
Yo, this thing right here was recorded by me, Propaganda, in East Los Boyle Heights, Los Angeles, California. This thing was mixed, edited, mastered, and scored by the one and only Matt Osowski. Y'all, check out this fool's music. I mean, it's incredible. Executive produced by Sophie Lichterman for Cool Zone Media. Man, and thank you for everybody who continue to tap in with us. Make sure you leaving reviews and 5-star ratings and sharing it with the homies so we could get this thing pushed up in the algorithm. And listen, I just want to remind you, these people is not smarter than you. If you understand city living, you understand politics. We'll see you next week.
Bean Dad, The Dress, 30 to 50 Feral Hogs. If you knew what any of those were, you spend too much time online. And hey, I do too. 16th Minute of Fame is a new weekly podcast hosted by me, Jamie Loftus. And every week, we take a closer look at an internet character of the day. Who are they? What made them so notorious? How did the internet or the algorithm choose them? And what does a person do when they're suddenly confronted with more attention than the human psyche can handle? Listen to 16th Minute of Fame on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast, and I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.